It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
And a pleasant good afternoon to everyone, and welcome to Fans in the Pro. Mike Haas and Deuce McAllister. Busy afternoon leading up to 6 o'clock in the Brian Kelly Show, and then a perfect night for the All-State Sugar Bowl prep football roundup. We got a lot to talk about as far as the injuries for both teams, but want to begin with something that the Saints are doing at the Superdome on Sunday. There's going to be a food collection, a game day drive for Sunday's game for Tampa Bay for all of the victims of Hurricane Milton across Florida. So in collaboration with the United Way, the Red Cross, the Saints will collect essential hygiene and cleaning supplies for those affected by the storm. So it'll start about 9:30. It'll end at the end of the first quarter. And it's the typical non-perishables, but think about cleaning supplies, garbage bags, gloves, bleach, Clorox wipes, tarps, paper towels, and the hygiene items, shampoo, conditioner, soap, toothpaste, toothbrush, deodorant, and things like that. Diapers, imagine that. So understand that the Saints cannot accept food, toys, books, clothing, or any open products. We're going to be talking about it today. It's going to be on the Saints website as well. It'll happen prior to you really kind of as you get to whatever secured perimeter you get to. Obviously, the items are not going to go through the security with you, so that's where you will leave them, and the United Way and the Saints will take care of it. And it's just awesome, because it is what it is. It's a big rivalry. It's a football game, but we have been there. And what happens is, and we know this happens, is that as soon as the storm moves, most of the world moves on. But that person is sitting down there with no diapers, and parts of Florida need the help. And so I think it's a great thing that the Saints are doing, and I know my friend Deuce McAllister does as well.
Yeah, and you're not even talking about no diapers. Probably no power.
Right.
You know, much less the diapers part. I mean, obviously that's essential for a little one, but you're talking about, man, I got to get power. And if I don't have power, then my food is probably going to be limited, because we're trying to cook everything we can before it spoils. I mean, and so like you talked about, we've been there. And, you know, the football game becomes secondary when it's a situation like that, because – for 3 hours, yes, I get to enjoy my favorite team, whether it's the Saints or the Bucks, and then after that, it's back to reality. And so, you know, whether you can even watch the game or listen to the game, you know, you'll try to find somewhere somebody that has it. But for the most part, man, it's just, I don't want to call it survival, but that's truly what it is.
It's day to day. So the Buccaneers have been here all week.
Yeah,
since Tuesday.
And Tampa Bay, we thank you. You guys, as far as I know, have been great visitors. Hopefully you've contributed to our economy a little bit more. And any of the Florida residents that have made their way over here to New Orleans, we definitely appreciate it. But, 48 hours, roughly?
The hospitality just takes a break, right? It doesn't end. It just takes a break.
No, I'm sending them on back to the house. The hospitality... probably 44 hours.
Right.
You know, because it would be 12:15. I'm probably 43 hours.
Now, here's the weird thing.
That hospitality stops.
Right. We don't know yet, but they were talking about this yesterday with Todd Bowles, and that is, can you go back Sunday after the game? And they didn't know that yesterday, and I think we'll know a lot more. Maybe they can now, but think about that. I didn't even really thought about the back end of this. What do you mean we can't go back? Right?
I've been there. What do you mean think about it? I know. Katrina.
I know. I just hadn't thought about it for them.
We went to Oakland, and then, wait, we're not going back? No, we're not going back to New Orleans. You're going to San Antonio. Okay, well, we're going to take a little three-day vacation in San Antonio. You know, the game was on Thursday night. Oh, you play Oakland, the Raiders out there. Then you say, okay, you can't go back to New Orleans. Wait, what do you mean? No, we're going back to San Antonio. We don't know if we will be going back to New Orleans ever. as far as the organization. But yeah, don't take me down that street.
No, no. Here's what I. But one day we'll do a quiz, and that is you have to write down the Saints. Not you and I. I couldn't do it. The 2005 schedule, when they played, who they played. If you can do the score, God bless you. I don't think I could even do the schedule. Just write down the order of the games that you played and where.
I will never forget two. Well, a couple. Not just two. Baton Rouge, the refrigerator.
Right.
Flying into Baton Rouge the day of the game, and I wasn't playing then, I had gotten hurt. Flying in as an NFL team the day of the game to play a game.
Like high school getting off the bus, right?
Exactly. So, like, do I get taped? You know, do I get taped at the facility? And the reason, there was no rooms.
Yeah.
People needed, FEMA needed.
I was
personnel needed those rooms that we were coming into. And so to experience that, to experience Carolina, the first game, to experience the to experience Baltimore the last game, preseason game. And you basically that game is like, wait, after the game, hey, we're leaving early, pack your stuff, and it's like
a game, by the way, that would never happen now.
No, because they would follow.
There's so much more. Yeah, you know what I mean?
They would follow.
A different protocol. So that game would never happen now.
And then the Baltimore game, there was the Thursday game, which was against the Raiders, against Oakland. And so you remember kind of that vividly. You remember the Atlanta game down in the Alamo, you know, and you
what
remember
the Giants.
The Giants
flipped. Wasn't that a flip game? You weren't like they were supposed to be here, but you ended up going there?
As a home game.
Yeah.
The Giants, you played up there and as a home game. And so we get the nice locker room. Oh, wait. No, you don't get – well, this is not a home
it's
game.
It's a home game.
Yeah, this is not a home game. And so, yeah, so you remember parts of that, and then you remember – I don't want to say the experience, but it was truly an experience. You were truly – 58, because the practice squad was only, you know, it wasn't like it is now. Right. You know, you had your regular 50.
Yeah,
I think it was 7 or 8.
You couldn't have not nearly the number of veterans.
No, not well, you didn't know veterans. Right. It was 2 years and under. But everywhere you went, there were normally probably 10 to 15 guys together because there was you didn't know San Antonio. And it was like a true college feel. And, yeah, we want to talk about some good things.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I sent us down that path because I don't think I can name. Well, I couldn't write down the games. I couldn't do it.
Yeah, no, I could give you probably some scores as well, or at least close to some scores, but they were ugly. But I do have something. Charlie, we'll call him / engineer producer.
He's everything.
Everything for us.
He tells me my mistake.
We're going to have to change up our music. We're changing up stuff. We got to find our mojo. So we've had 3 bad weeks. I changed up even Mike, what I brought and had today from what I've had the last 3 weeks. Changed up my approach, some different stuff that I do on Fridays. I am trying to break this little streak. So we got to change up our music.
Cue me up something, dude.
So I'm going to let you roll with whatever you think,
Whatever you might have played in the previous weeks, don't play.
But whatever we had previously, we dumping. We can go straight old school New Orleans, new school New Orleans. It doesn't matter, but we changing it up.
Big day, really. At 4:30 this afternoon, we'll talk to Bailey Adams. He's the Bucks writer for Pewter Report. I have the hardest time saying Pewter. Pewter Report. So we'll talk to him at 4:30. At 5:20, Chris Blair, voice of the Tigers, LSU, and Ole Miss. And then, of course, 6 o'clock, the Brian Kelly Show. And we're okay, Charlie? We can go into because the injury report.
You're going to need some time.
It's going to take some time. So take a break. Let's do that. Let's take a quick break. because the injury report is both teams, much of which we know from the Saints. There's some new stuff from the Buccaneers, so we'll talk about that on the back end. This is Fans in the Pro. My call's Deuce McAllister, WWLAMFM.com. Always free on the Odyssey app. Welcome back, Fans in the Pro. My call's Deuce McAllister. We're going to talk about the Saints injury report. If we don't get to all of Tampa's, we'll do some of that as we're speaking with Bailey Adams with the Pewter report coming up in just a few minutes. So the Saints have five that are out. I can't say that any of them are necessarily surprising. I will say on Tampa's side, Tampa has been off since they played Atlanta on a Thursday night. So they had three players who did not practice on Wednesday and then five who are out. So that's a little strange. So anyway, the five that are out for the Saints: Taysom Hill, he didn't practice all week. Cesar Ruiz did not practice all week. Derek Carr, of course, we knew about. Will Harris had the hamstring, did not practice all week. And Pete Werner did not practice all week. Willie Gay, all good. He was full practice. Rashid Shaheed does not have a game designation. Limited. Alvin Kamara was limited Thursday and Friday. He seems to be okay. Peyton Turner, questionable. Lucas Patrick, questionable. He didn't practice this week. He has a chest injury. Coach Allen said today that he would be one of those game day decisions. And so, and here's the question. Kendre Miller, hamstring, full practice, every day. And he's questionable. What do you have? I don't understand that part. That's the part I don't understand.
So for Kendre, you want to make sure that he's 100%, even though he's practiced fully. That doesn't mean that, you know, his window has opened as far as for practice, as far as his 21-day window. But they still, hey, he may not be ready to go fully. And so I suspect whenever we do see Kendre, it will probably be on some type of pitch count. Not to say that he's still injured, but he may not be fully 100% in football shape as well. I think he's in good shape because he's been working out with the trainers even when he was on IR. It wasn't like he was just, oh, I'm just doing rehab. He was working out. But he still hadn't played a football game.
Yeah, hadn't gotten hit since, I guess, last.
He's probably got hit
in
practice.
Mini camp or in practice.
No, he's got hit in practice.
But, you know,
probably tackled.
He ain't gotten tackled. So of that group, I mean, again, there were no surprises. I guess, you know, I have done more shows this week about Spencer Rattler, not as a football player, but as fans are so excited about Spencer Rattler. I'm like, what? It's kind of, I mean, everybody loves the backup. I'm used to that. And you're either a Derek Carr fan or you're not a Derek Carr fan. And so I get that as well. But there's just, I don't know if you've had to do a bunch of shows, literally not on Spencer as a football player, but as the, you know, kind of fans are back pumped up again. It's crazy.
I think I did one, and mine that I did, it was before the news of Derek being out multiple weeks. And outside of that, I didn't really want to do anything because I didn't want to talk about it like you chose to talk about it.
Right. And well, it wasn't even about – I mean, if it was about football –
I'm no, like, that's but we know about, you know exactly where the conversation is going though,
right?
And so, truly and honestly, I don't know if you can answer that fairly. That's the problem. I don't know if you can truly honestly answer it fairly, because of your situations with injuries,
right?
Not having your starting center, not having your starting right guard, and possibly not having your starting left guard. That's what you're dealing with. That's what Derek has dealt with. And so to throw a rookie in there, and as talented as Spencer is, that's what you're, I don't want to say choosing to do, but that's what you're doing. And so there's a plan in place for him. It's not one where, I don't want to call it dumbed down defense, I mean offensively, but they have tried to tailor the system to what they feel like that he can do as far as Spencer. It's not a new offense. It's not, you know, hey, we're creating these seven new plays because Spencer is the quarterback. They may highlight some of his skill set a little better. I mean, but for me, whether it was Derek or Spencer Rattler, if you can't block that front seven, it doesn't matter who the quarterback is. You've got to be able to block the front seven. And so, really, the defensive line,
But if you can block the defensive line, that means you can get up on the linebackers. That's what it boils down to, regardless of who's at quarterback.
Team has to figure out a way to be better on first down, right? I mean, whether it's running or passing, just be better on first down.
Now I can at least run the ball on second down.
Right.
If I'm second and 13 or second and 9, second and 8, my options are very, very limited. Because if I only pick up 2 yards on third down, third and long is not where you want to be. I mean, because if you're in that situation, then now defensively they're gonna tee off. But they've got to figure out a way. I don't want to call it to shorten it the game, but can you shorten the game?
Yeah, no, I totally agree.
Can you shorten the game? And I want the full field still available, but he's got to understand that this is my one, this is my two, this is my outlet.
Right. All right, so we're going to take a break. We will talk a lot more about Spencer Rattler in the game coming up. We talked about the Saints' injuries. We'll talk about Tampa's injuries next with Bailey Adams with the Pewter Report. Back after this on Fans in the Pro, my call is Deuce McAllister, WWLAMFM.com, always free in the Odyssey.
The days are getting shorter, but the lights couldn't be brighter. This time of year, baseball is different, and the whole world is watching. All of the clutch hits, the game-saving grabs, the plays at the plate, and the head-first slides under the tag. That's peak baseball. Experience all of the autumn action. It's postseason season. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Yeah. Welcome back, Fans in the Pro. My host, Deuce McAllister. We talked about the Saints injury report. We're going to talk about Tampa's injury report as we also speak with Bailey Adams, the Bucs beat writer for the Pewter Report. Welcome to the show, Bailey. How are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing? I'm doing well.
So, first off, and initially, where are you? How did you come through? What is, what are things like in the kind of that area, St. Pete, Sarasota, Tampa? How did things come out?
Yeah, so I'm in around South Tampa, about 20 minutes or so from Raymond James Stadium. Kind of a mixed bag, honestly. My place got pretty lucky. I know where I live, there's no power, but I'm over with my parents, and they have power. Some friends don't have power. My aunt and uncle, unfortunately, had water in throughout their whole home, so been dealing with that for the last couple of days now. So, yeah, it's a mixed bag around here, but, we're all coming together.
So the injury report is out, and I thought it was a little, not strange, but it certainly caught my eye because you guys were off since the Thursday Atlanta game. You had three guys that didn't practice on Wednesday, but you have five that are out. Graham Barton, your starting center, Christian Izian, the defensive back, wide receiver Trey Palmer, who's from this area up in Kentwood, Cameron Johnson, wide receiver, and then Ernest Brown, the fourth defensive lineman. Rashad White is doubtful, and then you have several that are questionable. I know the practices were up here this week. I guess just your overall assessment of this injury report, was it more than you had expected?
Honestly, believe it or not, that's better than I think a lot of Bucs fans were expecting, and maybe kind of what they were hoping for. Not that all those guys would be missing the game, but that the names that aren't necessarily trending toward doubtful or not playing, like Kalijah Kancey, Luke Goedeke, Antoine Winfield Jr., those guys seem to be trending toward playing. Kalijah Kancey hasn't played all season. The rookie from last year, he's heading into his second season, picked up a calf injury on the Friday before week one. So he hasn't played. Looks like he'll make his season debut. Luke Goedeke has been in concussion protocol, the right tackle. He hasn't played since week one. And then Antoine Winfield Jr., the all-pro safety from last year, has not played since week one. So trending toward better. You'd like not see so many names as doubtful or listed as out, but I think the Bucs are trending in the right direction.
When you look at this team overall, Bailey, what would your assessment be for them over their first couple of games early in this season so far?
Yeah, I think it's been up and down. Obviously, when you have a 3-2 record, that kind of sounds obvious. But they've had some high highs. I mean, beating Detroit on the road was a big one for them after they lost both games to the Lions last year. But coming back home, and I know the Broncos since that game, that was kind of the get-right game for Denver down here in Tampa. But, that losing that game in that fashion was a disappointment. And then falling apart late against Atlanta was disappointing. I think there's kind of a feeling of missed opportunities of, you know, looking at the way the schedule and everything's unfolded, you could be 4-1, 5-0 at this point. But I think a lot of it has been, you know, they've been very banged up week in, week out. All the guys I just mentioned who are coming back that haven't played all year or haven't played since week one. That's not even to mention Vita Vea, who missed a game and a half himself. So kind of weathering the storm with injuries and really trying to get back on track here after what was a little bit longer of a break after Thursday night.
When you talk about a team evacuating and they've been kind of away, what do you think this team kind of their, I guess, mindset is right now? Obviously, you're thinking about home, but you've been focused on what you have to do and, you know, as much family and items that you can bring. I'm assuming they had that opportunity to bring them.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what helped on the organizational side of things is they have, I think they said 375 people, something like that, in their traveling party. So a lot of family members of the players and the coaches and even team staff were able to get out in time. And others who wanted to stay in Florida were able to be put up in resorts in Orlando, kind of away from the track and everything. So I think from an organizational standpoint, that helped them probably just kind of get their focus on football. Yes, they're going to be thinking about home. They're going to be thinking about, you know, the city here. But I think there's also kind of that feeling of, all right, you know, we got to take care of business out there and kind of bring some hope. And football can be that kind of thing sometimes for people where they rally around it. So I think that's what probably the message to the team has to be.
Tampa has the potential, at least under Baker. They have been somewhat streaky. I mean, there was a point, it felt like last year, that Todd Bowles was in trouble. I think like 4-7, something like that. And then, they, you know, they reel off. And, you know, that same thing with his first year. He started in 22 like Coach Allen. But, man, this year it just feels like Baker with 11 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. He's had a pretty strong completion percentage. He's made good decisions. I mean, when he's like this, he is enormously difficult to defend.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's kind of a whole variety of things. I know they have a new offensive coordinator, so he's working with yet another new coach, but it is one he has experience with, Liam Cohen, from those, you know, few weeks he spent in Los Angeles at the end of 22. But I think there's also just kind of a security with him now where he's signed a new 3-year deal. He knows this is home. Kind of for the first time, he has a home in the NFL. I know, obviously, he spent the 4 years in Cleveland, but they were quick to move on from him. It didn't really feel like home in the end. So he's secure in his spot. He's got a good, you know, rapport with Mike Evans, Chris Godwin. And I think he's just really comfortable right now through the first 5 games or so.
From a wide receiver standpoint, Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, I mean, good gosh, it feels like they've been playing forever. Now, Trey Palmer is out. Because this wide receiver core in general, when you throw in Jalen McMillan, Sterling Shepard, and the rookie Cameron Johnson has not played much, but Shepard, McMillan, Godwin, Evans, Palmer all have touchdowns. Evans has 5, Godwin has 3. We expect another Marshawn Lattimore, Mike Evans show on Sunday. But this wide receiver core has been, you know, probably better than expected.
Yeah, I think so. I think we had to get one of the guys on our staff refer to it today as a revolving door because there's been a time, you know, Trey Palmer's been banged up, Cameron Johnson's been banged up, Jalen McMillan right now is coming back from an injury and he's missed some time. So they kind of haven't had all of them healthy at once, but the ones that have been in there have been producing pretty well and they've been getting a decent amount of production from the tight end, Kate Otten, and Rashad White in the passing game out of the backfield has also done a whole lot. So, yeah, there's a lot of weapons to go around for Baker, and I think that's a huge part of his success so far also.
When you look at this matchup on Sunday, what are a couple things that you're interested in seeing how it unfolds for either team?
I think, you know, going into it, I think New Orleans defense has not been the reason, I mean, from the outside anyway, looking at, you know, the game they lost 15-12 to Philly in a game where they didn't give up an offensive touchdown to Atlanta, and they still lost the game. I think their defense against this Bucs offense, which seems to be clicking and headed in the right direction, I'm really interested in that. And then on the flip side, kind of getting some guys back on defense for the Bucs. Even still, there's kind of the wild card now of Spencer Rattler making his debut. And people, I think, in Tampa and just Bucs fans in general are quick to kind of shudder at the thought of playing a rookie quarterback because there's a perception that Todd Bowles' defenses have not handled rookies very well. there's been some high-profile losses in the past, but it's kind of more around league average. But even still, you never really know what you're going to get from a debuting quarterback, so that's a huge wrinkle thrown into the mix here.
Jake Camarda play on Sunday?
Oh, I don't know. It's been a very weird, strange situation with him.
Yeah.
I thought he had a decent year last year, a little inconsistent at times, but we saw him in the preseason and then early on this season really, really struggle and not find that consistency. And at first I thought, you know, they're going to elevate Trenton Gill. They're going to have him give a couple games and maybe kind of send a message to Camarda. I don't really know. It's kind of one of those things where it's wait and see. And if they elevate Gill again, I think that will be his third one. So then they're going to have to come to a decision of, all right, what are we going to do here at punter? And not something we really thought, you know, having a guy from the fourth round pick 2 years ago, thinking that 2 years later we'd be considering, you know, who's going to be next in line.
Right. Healthy scratches. You don't see too many punting healthy scratches in the NFL. You just don't see it, right?
Yeah, so, you really don't.
Well, Bailey, we appreciate your time. Best of luck. The Saints are having a food drive on Sunday for all kinds of items, cleaning items, hygiene items, canned goods to send down your way. So we've been there. It ain't easy. One day at a time, and best of luck to you.
I appreciate you guys for having me on, and thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You bet. Bailey Adams, Bucks beat reporter for the Pewter Report. Take a break here. Fans in the Pro back after this. Mike Hoss, Deuce McAllister, WWLAMFM.com, always free in the Odyssey app. Welcome back. Taking you almost to 5 o'clock here in our first hour. Then at 6 o'clock, it's the Brian Kelly Show. 7 o'clock, it's the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup. Do not forget Magazine Pizza, 1068 Magazine, dine-in or delivery. The best gourmet pizza selection in town, Magazine Pizza. Also has pastas, sandwiches, wings, and salads. MagazinePizza.com. We appreciate all of their help feeding our Saints broadcast team. Huge weekend. High school football tonight for some. High school, you know, football game started on Thursday.
Friday, and Saturday. Right?
James Madison played last night. So the collision, the one-loss James Madison Dukes and the one-loss Ole Miss Rebels still on a collision course.
A collision course, but wasn't it?
Yes, we lost.
I'm trying to – was it
– Northeast Louisiana?
Yeah, okay. You're not even – you're going to go with Northwest Louisiana. Yeah. Wow. Right, the disrespect.
All right. I'm sorry. I tried to put it behind me. Well, I cannot believe I brought this up.
Here's for me. Me and Ole Miss and LSU. I probably was more involved when I played. The farther that you get away from the game, the rivalry, quote unquote, dies down. You know when each team is good. There has been more chirping to me this year than in years past. And I'm like, I don't even brag about Ole Miss. I hadn't said anything. Only thing I said about Ole Miss has high expectations and a lot of pressure. And I didn't know how they would handle that pressure. But there has been an unbelievable amount of chirping from LSU fans. And I'm like, really? Like, really? I didn't hear anything last year. But for me, I'm hoping it's a good game. It's going to be electric in Tiger Stadium. It should be an exciting. I'm hoping that it's an exciting game. Who wins? To be determined. You will have a bunch of guys that play on Sunday in that matchup, and I think from a coaching standpoint, you know, you talk about the magical. Of Tiger Stadium.
It's 100. They're celebrating 100 years.
Yeah, but how many players?
No, I'm just saying.
No, I mean, but from a player standpoint,
right.
Ole Miss is, they turned over that roster 40, 50 times. They're like, hey, you know you hadn't won here since. Like, most of those kids, they weren't even in Ole Miss colors, so much less. It doesn't matter to them, if that makes sense. The 100-year celebration, and to most of those players, like, okay.
Why do I hate them again?
Well, why does this matter?
Right.
You know, such and such, he's my friend. And then with social media, they're all buddy-buddy on that stuff. And so it's always intriguing. But for the fans, oh man, it means something.
Oh yeah,
it truly means something.
I wish it were. It used to be closer, obviously, to Halloween.
To Halloween,
always that weekend.
Yeah,
and we're going to talk at 5:20. We're going to talk to Chris Blair, voice of the Tigers, a lot more about the ins and outs of the game. But here's something I found a little interesting: Saints at home, 3.5-point underdogs to Tampa. LSU at home, 3.5-point underdogs to Ole Miss. I mean, I know, I get it. It just feels a little, I don't know, wrong. I don't know. Got to take a break. We got another hour coming up, and again, we'll talk to Chris Blair. We'll talk a lot more about the Saints, as well as Spencer Rattler and the injuries and the food drive. So keep it right here. Fans in the Pro, Mike Haas, Deuce McAllister, WWLAMFM.com, always free in the Odyssey app. The news is next. Welcome back, everyone. Fans in the Pro until 6 o'clock tonight. Then it's the Brian Kelly Show. And after that, the All-State Sugar Bowl Prep Football Roundup. We will be talking LSU football at 5:20 with Chris Blair, the amazing voice of the Tigers. And if you haven't heard yet, and you will between now and Sunday, the Saints have announced a game day drive during the game with Tampa Bay Buccaneers to help support the victims of Hurricane Milton. So in collaboration with the United Way and the Red Cross, the Saints will collect essential hygiene and cleaning supplies for those affected by the storm game time on Sunday. So it's before you get in. It's while you're at the security perimeter. It'll start at 9:30 and end at the end of the first quarter. Then the United Way will start collecting them in the second quarter. So what are we talking about? Cleaning supplies, garbage bags, gloves, bleach, Clorox wipes, tarps, paper towels, mold remediation products, and hygiene items, shampoo, conditioner, soap, toothpaste, toothbrush, deodorant, diapers, you know. You cannot accept, the Saints cannot accept food, toys, books, clothing, or any open products. We appreciate the Saints and Mrs. Benson and everything that everybody is doing for the people in Florida who just came through Helene and now have Milton. And so football game is a football game, but we are all brethren when we're facing the effects of a hurricane.
Yeah, I agree with you, Mike. It's like we talked about earlier, definitely not what you want to be dealing with, but you live in a reality world, and that's the reality we're in right now. And so you do it the best way, you can, and the best way possible. Just like we talked to Bailey, the reporter. You know, he doesn't have power. His parents, I think, have power, and he had some other family member, maybe some aunts and uncles that had water in their house, and so we kind of know. Those are the things that you kind of deal with when you're dealing with a storm and it's the aftermath. And so to be able to supply those products, every little bit, it helps. You know, even if it's, hey, this is just a 12-pack or 18-pack of water, goes a long way when you don't have any water.
Very much so. I want to spend just a few minutes because we've talked about the Saints and the injuries in Tampa and the injuries and the situation a little bit. As far as Spencer Rattler is concerned, but just from a football standpoint, rookie, what's he going to face? I mean, Todd Bowles is a defensive guy. I mean, are they going to just blitz him, you know, endlessly? What are the three things, if you were talking to Spencer on Sunday before noon, about what to expect, what to do, right?
Well, pretty much, they're going to blitz him. Yeah. But, Spencer, you probably have about 6 hours and 45 minutes of your phone. After that, turn it off. You've got all the calls. You've got all the congrats. You know, everybody has texted you. You know, your phone is, your social has probably been blowing up. Turn it off. Now it becomes truly, truly locking in and focusing. I mean, because for him, don't allow the moment to get too big, but enjoy the moment. It's your first start. It's your first start. So you should embrace it. But I've got to be able to focus on football too. The one thing that you don't want to do is get in the huddle. And I got 10 other guys looking at me like, come on, man, give me the play. You know, what's the play? And so for him to go in and have command of the huddle, and he will, I feel fair. Now, I've never been with this staff, so I don't know. I feel fairly confident in him having the first maybe 10 plays, 12 plays, and they may not be in order, but hey, this situation, this is what we're going with. Third down, this is where we're going with. You know, fourth down call, XYZ, this is what we're going with. I want you to focus on this. When you get this look, this is where I want your eyes to go. Not to say I want you to force a football to any certain player, but get the football to your playmakers. The job of the other 10 players that are on that field with him is to make his job easy. So
don't make it about Spencer.
No, don't make it about Spencer. But I need
10 other cats out there.
I need to do my job.
Right, right.
I need to do my job. So I don't need to go and hold, line up in the, you know, have a false start, have an illegal motion. What's something else? Hands to the face. Whatever it could be, I don't need to make it harder on him because I'm really making it harder on myself. How can we make it easy as possible for him? Because from a looks standpoint, you're going to see four strong. So that's four strong to the tight end side. So that'll be a safety. That's going to be a two backers. There will be four strong coming to that side. You're going to see it. You'll have 4 weak. So just flip it to the other side. The free safety, a linebacker, and a nickel guy. Somebody's going to be hot. Somebody's going to be unblocked. And for the Saints, what's the answer? How do I answer that? What am I giving him to be able to answer that puzzle? Because when it happens, Tampa's going to say, okay, this is what he did this time. This is what he did that time. Now, you're going to get that same look. Double A gap. Two linebackers right over the center. One on the left side, one on the right. How is he going to handle that? Now, one of them engaged, but he drops out. So it's a zone blitz. They only send five, so it's a fire. It looked just like the other blitz, where it looked like one side was heavy, a load left, a load right, and they come, but it's only five guys. What they want you to do as a quarterback is speed up the clock and think that there is a free hitter every time, when in certain situations there won't be. He's got to have multiple answers where it's one to two to here's my check now. That's where he's got to be able to go. And so the Saints can help him by moving the pocket. They can move the pocket a little bit. That'll help. But when you do move the pocket, that normally shortens the field. So now you have only the left side of the field or the right side of the field to play with. So everything's condensed. And you can say, well, people say, well, he's mobile. He's mobile. Yeah, he's mobile. He get hit one time the right way, he won't be mobile much longer. You know, and so for him, there will be opportunities where you run. But running can't be the first thing that you're thinking. Because that's exactly what Tampa wants you to do. Right. They feel like that if you run, you're taking away some of the options down the field. The other part of it, and I don't even know the Saints' game plan, but if I'm Tampa, what do you think they're thinking? They're going to throw it hot. They're going to throw it quick.
Right.
Tampa's like, okay, cool. We're going to rally the football. We want you to throw it short. We feel like your guy cannot make anybody miss. And we can basically tackle you for 2 yards, 3 yards, and we're getting off the field. They'll load the box to say, okay, Saints, we have 7 or 8 in the box. You can't run against this look. And probably the Saints will say, yeah, I agree with you. We can't block that look. But sometimes the Saints are going to have to be hard-headed and say, yep, we have an answer to be able to block that look. The only way that you stop them from doing some of that, you've got to hit them downfield. You've got to be able to win some one-on-one matchups down the field. And I'm not talking about 40 yards, 60 yards down the field. It may be 10. It may be 15. Sometimes it may be 7 or 8 where it's off coverage and my guy runs a hitch, he runs a slant, he may run a hitch and go. you know, and my quarterback buys a little time and he hits him and crank the band up. But, I mean, we will see all of that.
Man.
And we will probably see it all early.
Early, yeah. All right. Got to take a break to kind of change the tune a little bit. Been talking a lot about Saints. Want to talk about LSU Ole Miss. We will do so with the voice of the Tigers, Chris Blair, next here on Fans in the Pro. WWLAMFM.com. Always free on the Odyssey app. Welcome back, Fans in the Pro. Big one tomorrow night. Tiger Stadium, number 9, Ole Miss against number 13, LSU. Chris Blair, voice of the LSU Tigers, joins us. Chris, you're on with Mike Austin. Of course, the Ole Miss Rebel, Deuce McAllister. How are you?
I'm doing great, gentlemen. Thanks for having me on.
So last year, let's see, Ole Miss, 706 yards of offense in a crazy game, 55-49. Both defenses clearly better, but how do you, you know, where do you see this game kind of going, more like a track meet or different? I mean, both quarterbacks, push the field.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, last year, obviously, there wasn't a defense to be found anywhere in Oxford on that given Saturday. I forgot until I went back and watched the film. I mean, LSU had a chance, was a catch away from, you know, winning that game. So, again, it was just back and forth, indeed, a track meet. You know, I think the question, gentlemen, comes down to, you know, it is the same. You know, there's the great offense for Ole Miss is there, much like last year. You got Lane Kiffin, who arguably is the best offensive play caller in college football, one of them for sure. LSU's offense, I think, from a point standpoint and the weaponry they have, can, you know, if it comes down to a score fest, they do it differently than Jaden Daniels did it last year, but I still think they can put points on the board. Has Ole Miss's defense, what's the best team they faced offensively? And on the flip side of that, you can ask the same question about LSU. Which team that this defense has faced is anywhere in the same, you know, zip code is what they'll see against Ole Miss. So, you know, I think there's a lot of questions. You know, when you look at is either defense better? Obviously, Ole Miss statistically, I mean, that was the story in the offseason with all of the transfer portal talk was, you know, building up a defense. And statistically, they so far have been much improved. I mean, leading the SEC in sacks, near the top, tackles for loss, and giving up very little on the ground, very little through the air, and I think 7.5 points through 6 games. So, you know, I think we'll all find out a little more. And I would say, you know, if you probably, you know, got an inside conversation with both Coach Kelly and both Coach Kiffin, I think they would tell you, we're going to see because, you know, LSU's got a gauntlet coming up. Ole Miss has got a gauntlet the rest of the way. And, you know, how good are these defenses? Because I think we very well could have another track meet.
Chris, I got to ask you, you know, injuries. When you talk about it from both teams, you know, LSU coming off of the bye, so you had a little bit more extra time. But Ole Miss, you know, looking at the trip to South Carolina and, you know, not having one of your starting defensive ends, your starting receiver get hurt. One running back, I think, is already out the game. Your starting running back being banged up, you know, that being for Ole Miss. What the injuries, what impact do they have on this game?
You know, I think, you know, just talking to some folks earlier today, Deuce, from Ole Miss who'd made their way over here, you know, they were really talking about some injuries up front on that offensive line, not to mention the other ones you just talked about, which is whether or not Trey Harris is 100%, whether or not he'll go. How deep are they in the running backs? I know that they got a shoulder injury to Parrish, a sore shoulder, put it that way. Expected to play, however. But they really talked about, you know, that offensive line against what I think is a much improved and getting better day-to-day, week-to-week defensive front for LSU. And then for the Tigers, obviously tough news last night, learning that Kyle Parker, who again, like Chris Hilton, is one of those guys that can take a top off of defense, which is, for the most part, the only element that LSU has been missing. And, of course, Kyle had the big catch against South Alabama for 45 yards. Garrett hit him, laid it right in his hands at full speed. So he's out for the season. So that's a tough loss. But again, for LSU, not that you want to lose anybody to injury, that's a pretty deep receiver room. Not to mention that, you know, even though they're classified as tight ends, Mason Taylor, the freshman Tre'Davious Green, and the sophomore Kamorian Pimpton also are kind of tall targets. But I think injuries are going to play a factor in this, and I think both teams are certainly without the weaponry they'd like to have on both sides of the ball. But again, I thought it was key because, you know, LSU's offensive line, I think, has passed the test for pass protection up to this point. They've gotten better at creating holes for the running game. But, you know, is Ole Miss going to be able to get pressure with four or five? Are they going to have to blitz? And if they blitz, is LSU going to be effective running the football? And, you know, we're not sure if Caden Durham is 100%. We're not sure. We're assuming he will be ready to go tomorrow, but we'll have to wait and see. So I think there are a lot of questions that probably the coaches and the staff know that for the rest of us we'll find out, you know, around 6:44 when everybody's on the field ready to go.
Chris, you talked about some of the fans, particularly from Oxford, have made their way to Baton Rouge. Set the stage for us in Baton Rouge. How electric is it already?
Yeah, it's been that way, Deuce, all week. I mean, there's something about it, and I've, you know, it's kind of hard to describe, but it is very palpable that this week was an important week. And some of that may be due to the fact that LSU fans, you know, had a week off, and so they're chomping at the bit to get back to watch the Tigers. But I think a lot more of it has to do with, for me, I know Ole Miss has got a rivalry with Mississippi State in the Egg Bowl. That goes without saying. But, you know, when I think about classic SEC football and what helped, I think, make this sport grow regionally and eventually nationally is a matchup like Ole Miss and LSU. And so I think that's kind of the, hey, we didn't play last week. We're optimistic based on how we performed against South Alabama. We think we saw some things that were improved, especially defensively. And now you got, you know, the coach that, unless you're an Ole Miss fan, you love to hate, and that's, of course, Lane Kiffin. He's bringing his number 8 team into town. It's a Saturday night in Death Valley. Oh, by the way, it's homecoming. Oh, by the way, it's the game they're going to celebrate 100 years of Tiger Stadium. I mean, they have done everything they can possibly do. Now it's up to Coach Kelly and the Tigers to go finish the deal. But they're without question. I mean, campus was jam-packed today. Saw a lot of Ole Miss fans that were going over to see Mike at his habitat. And, you know, they're going to be ready to go. And I imagine I'm planning to go early. I mean, the kickoff's at 6:30. I go to work technically at 6, but I want to get inside and get on the ground. So probably going to be about a 9:30, 10 o'clock arrival for me.
No, I was giving you about 2 o'clock to get over there. You're saying you're going to have breakfast over there.
I like to get there and make sure I'm not, you know, caught in a traffic scenario near the stadium. That way I can go ahead, sneak inside, go find my office, and then wait for kickoff.
It's been I hate to use the word strange, but it feels like a year ago LSU played in that South Carolina crazy game, right? They lose to USC, and then the Nichols and the crazy South Carolina, UCLA was a win, and South Alabama, and just they're in this 4-game win streak. But I feel like we know maybe as least about this team as we've known about any team, and that makes tomorrow night so much bigger. Does that make sense?
Oh, Mike, I think you're spot on. I mean, we all said when we were leaving Vegas the first weekend in September that, you know, more than likely based on what we thought about Ole Miss preseason and what they were able to do outside of the Kentucky game, which was a little surprise, although give Kentucky a lot of credit. They hang their hat on defense, especially this year. But we kind of said leaving Vegas, yeah, you want to win. You want to get better the next 4 weeks. But you really can't change the narrative from a national standpoint. And for that matter, probably even some Tiger fans until you face Ole Miss and possibly get the win. Then maybe the rest of the country, who some of which have said, you know, I don't think they're a top 15 team. I don't think they're a top 20 or top 25 team. I think the only way after that loss at USC to get some of those people back on the fence or maybe to your side is with a win over Ole Miss. So you're exactly right. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of buzz or, hey, we've righted the ship, everything's going to be okay, and it's still not there. And that's why it's unfortunate that week number 6, and in this case game number 7 for Ole Miss, I think both of these teams, this is almost a must-win. I mean, when you look at the rest of the schedule, if they have ideas of winning the SEC or being the top 2 teams that get to Atlanta and then certainly get into a 12-team playoff, I mean, this is a tough game for both the Rebels and the Tigers, but it's not the last tough game. And that's why when people say, are we overemphasizing the importance of this game? Normally, I'm that guy who says you can't put that type of emphasis on one game. But the way this is set up and the goals that both of these teams and both of these fan bases have, I kind of lean with them. I kind of think it's almost a must win for both of these squads because, again, they already have one loss. I think, obviously, Ole Miss kind of surprised they got the loss to Kentucky. I think LSU felt confident they could win against USC in Vegas. So now the margin for error is very slight with, you know, the Georgias of the world coming up and the Oklahomas and the Alabamas, and, you know, and the rest. So LSU, excuse me, you know, this next three games before they get to the next bye week, I mean, you play Ole Miss and you go on the road to Arkansas, who did what they did last week, and then you get Texas A&M, which a lot of people are now buying the Aggies. So, yeah, this is a big game. There's no two ways about it.
It's the SEC, baby. It is the SEC in October and soon to be November. Chris, get there early, enjoy the atmosphere, and we appreciate all of your time this afternoon.
Thanks, Chris. Have a blast as well.
You guys too, man. Enjoy the weekend.
We will. Chris Blair, LSU voice of the Tigers. So LSU and Ole Miss tomorrow in Death Valley. Coverage starts at 2 o'clock. Join Mike Dettelier and Herb Tyler for the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show live from Acme Oyster House in Baton Rouge, presented by MAP Construction. It's always a great time with Mike and Herb. Acme has 16 surround sound TVs, great drink specials, plus life's more fun with seafood. And catch the LSU pregame at 4:30. Kickoff with the man we just spoke with, Chris Blair. We know he'll be there. And Jacob Hester at 6:30. The Tigers and the Rebels. 10 hours of exciting LSU football coverage tomorrow starting at 2 o'clock on WWL. Always free on the Odyssey app. Take a break. Fans and the Pro continues after this.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back, fans of the Pro. My call is Deuce McAllister until 6 o'clock. Then it'll be the Brian Kelly Show, followed by the high school football, State Sugar Bowl, high school football prep football. Good golly. Let's start that one again. The All-State Sugar Bowl prep football roundup, 7 o'clock. Been a beautiful night for it. It's now we're getting, we're not quite to gumbo weather. That's next week, but it's going to be a beautiful night.
I think it's National Gumbo Day tomorrow.
It is. I talked about it today with Dave Cohen, but I'm not ready there because I got to cook it. I got to eat gumbo any time of year, but if I'm cooking it, it's got to be cooler than it is now.
So that's what I was about to say. You thinking
next
maybe,
week, the cool front next week.
Is it? Cool front, or no, is it just cooler than what we got now?
But it's not bad out there now.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Especially maybe in the 50s.
So that's a cool front.
Well, you know, you got to take what you can get for the first batch. you got to take what you can get.
If we've got 50s in the morning, that's a cool front.
Heck yeah, baby.
That's a cool front.
So it's a big weekend for college football, but Tulane plays tomorrow. Tulane hosts Rice, 2:30. Boy, Tulane's, they've won three straight. They've scored 41, 45, and 71. The rest of the way after tomorrow beyond Rice will be American Conference. So that's at Yeoman. And, wow, I mean, college football.
Well, there's another one. There's another big matchup college football-wise that I think it's late tomorrow as well. Is it Ohio State?
Oh, yeah, no. State, that's Oregon. Where I was going. Yeah. So you have the Red River rivalry, right? Yeah. So you got Texas and Oklahoma, 1 versus 18 in Dallas. And then number 2, Ohio State against number 3, Oregon at 7:30. Penn State, USC, you got some others. But then the LSU 9 versus 13, Tennessee, Florida, not what it used to be, but still. But yeah, man,
where's
Ohio
State. Where's that Tennessee, Florida? Is that up at Tennessee?
I believe it is at Tennessee.
It is in Knoxville.
Yeah, I believe it's in Knoxville.
I mean, because that's one where if you're in Gainesville, I think that you would probably still be able to play it, but it wouldn't have just because of assets and what you've got, you know, from what they're dealing with.
And Notre Dame, Stanford. I mean, it's just a busy. I saw a tweet and somebody had to put this entire college football weekend up, and he said, for those people who plan their weddings this weekend. This was not.
Let's have the service in 25 minutes and have multiple TVs up. It's not that we don't love you, but
this was a tough weekend to pick. Tough weekend to pick. And as we were talking about, the Pelicans were supposed to play Orlando.
Orlando.
Just exactly the same situation.
Yeah, they did not play that game. I think it was last night, Friday. Well, no, today.
It was today.
Today is Friday.
Yeah. But they canceled it earlier in the week. They knew they were not going to play.
Well, they didn't want to have those assets tied up.
Right.
They didn't want to have those assets tied up as far as security, et cetera. So the Pelicans have been down that road. I think that they decided to practice more. And they are back here in New Orleans. What's interesting for them is they're just like the Saints. I don't think their practice facility is 100% complete. So they've been having to do a little bit more at the Smoothie King Center than they normally would. And that's just because the practice facility is close. But just like the Saints, hey, your stuff is close, but it's not completely ready yet.
So they play again on Sunday, the 13th. 2:30, they're in Miami, if I think they have that right. So that's the second time. So they played on the Monday night. Now they played early. The Saints played late. And now they're playing at the same time, 2:30. Saints will be playing Tampa, noon. So you'll have, one's preseason. Don't get me wrong. But it's just kind of weird they've had two games same day as the Saints, unless I have that wrong.
Is it 2:30 Eastern?
I think it's 2:30 Central.
Central time? Gotcha.
So it'll be the same time. So they made a couple of roster moves as well, signed Josh Oduro and Elfrid Payton. And they released
Matt Ryan
and Adonis Arms. So wait and see. But their first official regular season game Wednesday, October 23rd against the Chicago Bulls. So crazy times. And I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, basketball season is amongst us and it's here. And, most of those, even high school, I think most of those guys have and girls, young ladies are having scrimmages coming up, but their season is right around the corner as well. And so the same thing with college basketball, most of those, they'll play like an exhibition game. And then I think most of those teams, they go overseas, whether we're talking Europe or down to the Bahamas or Hawaii, and it's kind of their kickoff, not March Madness, but there's a basketball kickoff that they kind of do as well. And so
do they still do Midnight Madness?
That's Midnight Madness for
college basketball.
Yeah, that's what it was. Midnight, yeah. Not March, but it's Midnight Madness. Yeah.
Didn't they used to do like a 24-hour thing?
It was a 24-hour.
I don't think they do it anymore, though.
Wow. I loved it. That was always cool.
I'm fairly sure they do.
Okay,
but it will be like, hey, this is in different continents, or this is this game is starting here. This game is starting at this time for basketball, and then there was something else. Oh, football-wise. So, I feel pretty good about this one. But I need to double-check it. If it's not started yet, I think it may be, are we in the, 50 days straight of a game being on maybe every day or every other day yet?
Oh, I think,
I know for sports in general.
Well, I think so.
But for football, whether it's college and NFL games, we may be close to that little window.
Because the holidays fall on a Wednesday, and so you're going to have a game. Like Kansas City plays every day of the week except Tuesday.
But I'm talking about college.
So you'd have a college game. So you're not counting pros in that mix.
Yeah, no, I'm counting pros.
Right.
Sunday, Monday. Right. But, college start. Those games start on Tuesday, and then there's some Wednesday games that get thrown in there.
That's what I'm saying, though, because Christmas is on. You're going to have pro games on Wednesday.
Yeah. That's absurd. Yeah. I feel pretty good to, if I remember correctly, seeing that somewhere as well.
50 days straight.
Yeah, it's 50 days straight of nothing but football.
I love
it. And it may depend on what level you're looking for. Because I know there's one window in the summer that you get CFL. And that's the only football that you get, and it's like, man, what are they doing? Oh, that motion is legal. What do you mean? That's legal motion. That's not a penalty.
All right, take our final break. Come back, and we'll kind of put a bow on the Saints and Tampa Bay. We're back after this. Fans of the Pro, Mike Cost, Deuce McAllister, WWLAMFM.com, always free on the Odyssey app. Welcome back. Just a few more minutes, Mike Cost, Deuce McAllister. I wanted to talk about as we kind of wrap up, and we haven't really talked about Saints defense against Baker Mayfield and that offense. And so Baker's going to make some mistakes, right? And he's done a very good job. But I'm watching them play Atlanta and watching the All-22. He makes a mistake, throws inside to Evans. A.J. Terrell should have made the pick, and he didn't make the pick. Six plays later, Baker to Evans, touchdown. Should not have happened. So this is, he's one of these guys that you, in my estimation, you've got to make him pay. You, if he makes a mistake, and he will, you've got to make him pay.
He will give you some opportunities is basically what you're saying.
Yes.
And if you take advantage of those opportunities, you give yourself a chance.
Do you not feel that is imperative for this defense tomorrow, Sunday, being considering the offense situation with the O-line and everything, that this defense can't just be good?
No.
You got to be.
Well, this defense has to be good.
Really?
But they've got to get some turnovers.
Yes.
We talked about that against Kansas City, and we weren't able to do that. Mm-hmm. You have got to get some turnovers. And Tampa's struggling as far as running back-wise, just like the Saints are.
If Rashad White, I mean, he doesn't sound like, I don't know much about the rookie just before.
Well, Irving is a good back, but I mean, at the same time, he's put the ball on the, I mean, that's the Atlanta game. He put it on the ground against him, and so the Saints defense has to be elite. You have to be good again like you were in the red zone or like you've been, but the Saints defense can't give up explosive plays. When you look at the last couple of games, that's been the issue with the Saints defense. It's the explosive plays. And some of the explosive plays are because of penalties. But the Saints have to be better on third down, period. You have to be better on third down. I don't care if it's third and long, third and short, third and medium. Saints have to be better third down. Saints offense, you've got to move the ball and you've got to hit some explosive plays. You've got to hit some explosive plays, and you got to be able to move the ball. I don't think the Saints offense has to do anything that you haven't done this year. You got to play clean football. You know, it's hard to win any game if you have two turnovers and, you know, you have offensively alone, you have six or seven penalties. That's hard. Not even putting a rookie into that equation. So special teams has to win. You've got to be able to win the field position game, that battle. And Saints defense, you've got to come up with at least one to two turnovers to give yourself a shot.
And I'll go as far as say, make it a pick six, make it a fumble recovery, because they've been getting turnovers. But you got to, man, I just, when you got an opportunity,
you want them to cash in.
I need to cash in. This is the Sunday we need to cash in. I'm using my chips. I'm cashing in.
Push them to the middle.
All right, baby. Thanks for everybody. Thanks to Charlie Long in the booth as well. Chris Blair, who joined us. Bailey Adams. Don't forget the Saints food drive on Sunday. Bring things for people in Florida. Thanks for listening to the show, Fans in the Pro. The Brian Kelly Show is coming up next. Have a great weekend. Have a great football weekend. And we will talk to you on Sunday.
The days are getting shorter, but the lights couldn't be brighter. This time of year, baseball is different. And the whole world is watching. All of the clutch hits, the game-saving grabs, the plays at the plate, and the head-first slides under the tag. That's peak baseball. Experience all of the autumn action. It's postseason season. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.